Ūhana Linden is based in Tautukura, as you are aware, from the Greens. Her portfolios include forestry, health, Māori development, oceans and fisheries, whānau water, Māori education as well. Today we're talking initially about the rise in child poverty and changes to environmental laws and, of course, ongoing disputes about the Waikato River governance. Thanks again for joining us on the program. Tuhine, tēnā koe, Ūhana.
Tēnā koe matua, tēnā tātou katoa.
Let's look down on a few of these issues. New figures show an estimated 47,500 more kids are living in poverty under the Luxon government. What does this say about the government's priorities and what impact are Māori whānau feeling on the ground? Your thoughts, please, Ūhana.
Oh, look, this data just really confirms what we already knew, eh? That we have a situation where it is so hard for whānau to whāngai their mokopuna and making ends meet. And sometimes food is some of those things that are sacrificed by whānau. We've got power poverty. We've got a system that is under strain, which has been highlighted this week, where MSD staff are under pressure trying to process people's MSD applications because you've got to review them every 12 months. You know, so where is the care and where is the love for those who are most vulnerable within our communities?
Well, exactly. Where is the care? Where is the concern? Where, you know, what fate for these tamariki who are growing up often in abject poverty? Are they the new people to fuel our prison system? Are we to completely ignore them? These are important questions. We miss opportunities today. We create problems for tomorrow. Late changes to the government's replacement for the Resource Management Act are still sparking concerns about reduced environmental protections and treaty obligations. What are your biggest concerns about these reforms? It's the RMA that we're tracking into with this pātai, please, Ūhana.
Oh, matua. I think we have debated the planning bill and now the natural environment bill for some 30 hours so far. It's a massive piece of work, and throughout the presentation of the bills, the submissions received, and now debating in what's called the Committee of the Whole, we have been bringing forth the concerns of hapū, iwi, Māori communities, environmental groups, the community in general, about what is to come. The proposals are very much pitched towards a development focus, of course, which is the lens of this government, and are fast-tracking things. But we have to be really careful in that space, because as we might fast-track things, we could sacrifice protections for te taiao, consideration for our cultural values as tangata whenua, and the sidelining of iwi Māori voice, and in fact the narrowing of what is the Māori voice that the Crown will allow councils to engage with into the future.
The very bill we're talking about here, this is the fast track legislation, it's really environmental and cultural concerns that they seek to eliminate in the process, isn't it? Māori Greenies have been put up as the barriers to economic utopia. It's our fault that the country's going crook, or so politicians would have us believe.
Yeah, you're right on the money with that. It is not our fault. That consent might take a while. In fact, as iwi Māori, we are some of the first, well, we're like the last bastions of tautoko for te taiao, and looking after these taonga and resources that we have in our local community. That's the thing, is that through Te Tiriti o Waitangi and as tangata whenua, we have levers available to support better community outcomes. And I think that that's the good mahi tahi space that we have. For example, with sand mining in Bream Bay, we've got community and we've got hapū mahi tahi together to look after the taku taimwana and look to advocate to protect sand dredging for some 35 years by a big, massive company who's a donor to New Zealand First. You know, so these layers of influence, and it's not just lobbying, it's also favouritism to donors that we're seeing coming through time and time again.
If we were to trust food growers, that the fertiliser that they're putting on the land to get the crops that they get to market, that wasn't going to degrade the waterways and ultimately into the river, then maybe we could accept some of the political rhetoric that's around at the moment. I raise this because Shane Jones has said there must be the ability to grow crops at all costs for the farmers of the Waikato. Stuff what it does to the river if there are no checks and balances to ensure that their runoff, their leachate, isn't ending up in the waterways. Could we trust the farming sector to do what we believe to be right as far as protection of the environment is concerned, or does it have to be legislatively imposed?
Look, you know, I want to mihi to the tribes of Waikato and Waipa rivers, and that a legislation called Te Tuhi Whaimana, which provided the space whereby iwi Māori and councils come together, working with community, including, you know, our farmers, to come up with plans and strategies to support river health. And it really goes to the core of our kaupapa, which we've released recently, our policy, the right for us as New Zealanders to be able to drink from our taps, water which is safe, and our fresh water to be safe to drink, to be able to swim, to have a cocoa in the Waipa, in the Waikato River, and then the ability for us to fish in our awa and fish in our takutai moana, because largely the pollution that goes out into the moana comes from inland through our awa, which is of course the nitrate poisoning. And we had the tribes of the Ture Whaimana, the Waikato Waipa rivers, in Parliament yesterday with us. We had Te Wharetua, we had Waikato Tainui, we had representatives of Raukau, all of that. So the partnership of Ture Whaimana came in to flex on us and really underpin the fact that the Plan Change 1, which is being deferred by this government right now, was something that they had worked on for 14 years alongside council and community, that the strategy around Plan Change 1 was taking everybody together. But this government, has parked that to enable the continued land use without the restrictions and safeguards that Te Ture Whaimana and the Plan Change was offering to protect river health. So, yeah, it's been a tough couple of days. Well, 3 days, Matua, since Tuesday we've been debating these legislations.
Yeah, I spoke to Shane a couple of days ago. He said, oh, well, we're putting in some big money to eradicate koi carp. And I'm thinking, well, koi carp's just one of the threats, Shane. You know, it's the runoff into the river and the degradation it could cause that really is our concern, Māori. The crowd sidelining iwi and matters relating to our own taonga again. Critics say the ongoing delays to the river restoration planning could undermine years of work to improve the health of the awa. What needs to happen now to ensure river restoration and co-governance commitments are protected, or is the only way we can really have a say here at the ballot box?
Look, I really want to acknowledge the fact that our iwi groups of Waikato and Waipa, the Ture Whaimana mana tribes, have come out strong. And they've been advocating strongly. They actually did try, and they have been working with the government on specific amendments to protect and uphold Te Ture Whaimana. We do have a government that says, yep, we will honour Te Tiriti settlements, but of course, you know, breaches happen every day with treaty settlements. And I think that that's where the ongoing monitoring and our need to support hapu, iwi and marae to be able to monitor the system, but also have those safeguards in place. Very low trust right now. And one of my core issues with this new system is the narrowing of what Māori voice is. In resource management, largely it's our marae and our hapu whānau that are the ones with their hands on the steering wheel, and they're doing the mahi when it comes to resource consents. You don't get that anymore in the new system. You have to be a settled iwi with a PSGE, or you have to have achieved these takutai moana rights, you know, through the process. It's a really narrow scope because it cuts out hapu, it cuts out marae and those kaitiaki. I question strongly around this fact that actually, you know, not even large natural groupings, hapu, that are going through a mandating process, they're not iwi enough either. And previously in the RMA, we had hapu groupings that were confirmed and recognised as iwi groups for the purposes of the RMA now gone. So I'm pretty gutted around that because our hapu marae closest to home have been working in this space for decades, and now it's a very narrow focus on treaty settlements and post-settlement governance entities as to what the voice will be.
Tēnā koe, thanks, Huhana. You guys have been busy, of course. It feels as though legislation has been pushed fast through the House. What's ahead as far as Parliament's sitting? How many more weeks have we got here till Parliament rises?
Yeah, we've got a couple more weeks, Matua. So we're in urgency right now till Saturday. So we've been going till midnight all week. And the particular focus this week has been on resource management and these two bills. Parliament finishes, officially encloses the week of the 24th of September, that week there. And then after that, we're into campaign mode. So, yeah, we've still got a bit of back-to-back. No doubt there'll be more urgency, and the Greens will be fighting hard for Te Tiriti o Waitangi, for the well-being of our people, and for Te Taiao.
Tēnā koe, looking forward to more conversations. There'll be plenty more too as we build up to November. Always appreciate your perspectives, tau huana. Tēnā koe tuahine. Thanks very much again.
Ngā mihi. Tēnā koe.